Good evening, New Vision Fellowship. I am Pastor Christina, and I would like to welcome you to another Saturday evening worship service. Thank you for joining us to worship through song, worship through the word, and worship through giving. If you'll allow me, I will say a quick prayer, and then we will hop right into the rest of our worship service. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather before you. Even as separate as we are, we know that our hearts are all together on this evening, worshiping you and loving you. Thank you for keeping everybody safe during this time, and thank you for your wisdom. As we head into our service tonight, Lord, I ask that you will touch hearts and minds, and for those who need extra help, please urge them to reach out to whoever could help them best. Thank you so much, God. You are so good and so amazing. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, guys, and let's get started.
Well, tomorrow is Mother's Day. Somehow, May is here. There's beautiful weather for this weekend, though, which is really a gift. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are joining us this weekend for our service. I want to, in the normal New Vision tradition, extend the happy Mother's Day wish to all those who provide nurture and unconditional love for the children in their lives. This certainly includes moms, but it also includes grandmothers and aunts and cousins and mentors and teachers and nurses and friends. We want to wish all women who provide that place of safety and warmth to any individual who looks to them as a mother, very happy Mother's Day. This year, Mother's Day comes with its own special set of challenges. First of all, I know that it's not just being a mom that has been challenging. It's been challenging for all parents because you are having to homeschool your children. Your children and you aren't supposed to go anywhere. There's that 24/7 sort of routine that has developed without any kinds of breaks. And so I just want to really give a tribute to the parents who have just stepped up in incredible ways and done things that feel far beyond the training. You know how we all get that manual when we have children that has the answers to all sorts of things that we need to know as parents. Yeah, right. Well, your manual has an appendix, and you are learning some new things that those of us who raised children before this time did not have to experience. So we just give you a shout out and give you kudos. You know, at the end of last year, if anyone would have told us that by the middle of March, our kids would be out of school for the year or no longer being able to go to their school building, not out of school, they would still be doing schoolwork, but in their homes under the supervision and teaching of their parents, that restaurants would be closed, restaurants as we know it, and New Visioners, we know restaurants. We spend our share of time on Saturday nights after service at restaurants. That we would be asked to stay at home, except for going out for essential items. That we'd be able to wear masks in banks. That still just blows my mind. And that we'd be watching professional sporting events from years ago, sometimes even decades ago. All of those things would have sounded like a plot for a fantastical movie if someone had told us about that just a mere 5 or 6 months ago. But here we are. and healthcare workers are the heroes of the day. And teachers, we realize, should be getting pay that's equivalent to NBA stars. It is certainly a new time to be living, but we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, just as he was last year at this time, just like he is today, and just like he will be in the future. I decided, though, that I would join this group of parents during the pandemic time, and I've added a new member to my family. Yep, you got it. I am the proud mama of a 12-week-old golden doodle puppy. Her name is Jasmine. I decided that I was probably getting too much sleep during this quarantine time, so I thought, hey, why don't I throw a puppy into my life so that I don't sleep so much, so that I'm up at 6:30 or 7 in the morning? That's true, I am. I know some of you are absolutely shocked by that. You know me very well. I am not a morning person. I also thought, you know, I might as well bring something into my life that I need to teach manners to and what's appropriate civilized behavior. I figured, hey, why should Pastor Christina have all the fun? I might as well join her ranks. On a serious note, though, this quarantine has been hard for me. Since my husband died 19 months ago, there's been a lot of aloneness, but many of you, my family and my friends, have filled the space in my life. And of course, I have my dog, Harrison. And for quite a while, my daughter lived with me and her dog as well. But they moved out a few weeks ago, actually. And the pandemic has been going on, and the time of being alone and social distancing has been going on. And there's no way that I will ever, ever replace Ted. I don't want to replace him. I had an amazing life with him. But there's a sense within me that says this is really good for my healing and my moving forward. Harrison and I are expanding our family. So we're now a family of three, with Harrison, Jasmine, and me. And I'll keep you posted on how that goes. So far, I'm loving it. I also love how God seems to know just what we need when we need it. He is such a great provider. And not just of those things that are essential, but those things that he knows will touch us in a way that gives us the care and the love that we need. Many of the traits that we celebrate over Mother's Day are the traits that God shows us and gives to us when we need it the most. One of the things that he's done that is just completely, constantly astonishing me is how he knew at the end of last year that we needed to be reading the Bible together. And he knew that because he knew that we would not be able to be together physically, but that this was a way that we could literally be on the same page. And so that's what we're doing, is reading through the Bible this year. And the saga that we're reading right now in both 1 Samuel and the saga in the book of Acts continues on. Now, today I thought, let's look at something to do with mothers in what we've been reading. A couple weeks ago, I, of course, introduced Samuel and his mother, Hannah. That was an amazing story. Today I want to look in the New Testament at what we've been reading. And I want to zero in on a mother and a grandmother who played crucial roles in the expansion of the gospel. And I want to start by looking at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. This is what it says. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer and his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. So at this point, we are on the second missionary journey of Paul as we're reading through the book of Acts. It goes on to say, in deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. But his mother was a Jewish believer. That means she was a Christian. She was a Christian. She was one of the first Christians. And Paul met her and her mom, and this incredible young man named Timothy, who he took on as a mentor. And we learn more about Timothy throughout the book of Acts, but also in a couple of letters that Paul writes specifically to his disciple Timothy. And we are going to be able to find out a little more about Timothy's mom by looking at one of those letters. It's actually in 2 Timothy that we get a little more information about these amazing women. In this letter, Paul writes this to Timothy. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues because it is strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The first thing we read about Timothy's faith is that it came from his mother and his grandmother, from Eunice and Lois. And we realize and recognize that this was shortly after Jesus had walked on the earth, shortly after he had ascended to heaven, shortly after the movement of Christ's followers had begun. This mother and daughter, who are the grandmother and mother of Timothy, made a choice for their life. And when they made a choice for their own life, it impacted their child. And beyond that, the choice that they made would impact future generations. For you see, they would no longer stick to the Jewish faith and traditions and rules, but they would embrace the love and grace that comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We recognize here how important it is to make choices in our own lives, whether we're a mother or a grandmother, a dad or a grandpa, an aunt or an uncle, a teacher, a mentor. No matter who we are to a person who is looking to us for direction in life, the choices we make has a huge impact on the direction that their life is going to go. In fact, we read about this in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. if you are following along in your Bibles, you can look in Exodus 34, and it's verse 7, where it says, I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. We can observe this in our own society. We can see the cycles of abuse and addiction, of judgmentalism, of moral failure and sins, and how they seem to be an infection in some families. The correct word would be an affliction in some families. However, just because that is something that has been generationally a pattern throughout our lives, we are not stuck there. We are not stuck there, and the generations to follow us do not have to remain stuck in this generational sin. And that is because of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, when we make the choice, the same choice that Lois and Eunice made, that then impacted Timothy's life and faith and the minister he became, when we make that choice, we are adopted into God's family. We literally share the same bloodline as Jesus. And when that happens, the chains from our past, from our parents' past, from our grandparents' past, from our great-grandparents' past, from our great-great-grandparents' past are broken. Now, does it mean that they'll simply slide off and we will not at all repeat the patterns of the past? It does not mean that. But it means we have the opportunity and the empowerment of that. And we read that as we look at the next thing that Paul has to say to Timothy about his faith. First of all, it was a faith he got from his mom and grandma. And secondly, Paul says, fan into flames the spiritual gift you received. This is not speaking of a specific spiritual gift. This, in the context and in the original text, is speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift that we all get when we become a follower of Jesus Christ, when we ask him into our hearts, when we say to him, I confess my sins, and I want you to come into my life. And then we start seeing a transformation take place. But only if we heed these words, which are fan into flame that spiritual gift. You see, it doesn't just happen automatically. We get to engage the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is through that engagement that we see our lives change. And if it's not just for us, if that's not enough, if you figure, well, I'm kind of a loser anyway. I don't have a lot going for me. What does it matter if I make these choices in my life? I deserve what I get. That shouldn't be your reason for seeking to change, become a transformed person. Your reason should be because of the heritage you will be leaving. Whether or not you directly have a child, you are still part of a family. And you are breaking the chains of iniquity when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and then ignite the power that lies within through the Holy Spirit. That changes your life. And it changes the trajectory of generations to come after you. And that should be more than enough reason to fan into flames that which God has already gifted and is inside of you. You see, a heritage is what we pass on to our children, our grandchildren, future generations, our nieces, our nephews. Those people, those children, the next generations who are going to be in charge of this world that we are leaving to them. It's like we get to make a choice. What kind of covering are we going to place over them? Are we going to place over a covering that says, you make your own way, kid. I had to make my own way. Life is tough. Good luck. That's not very loving and caring. Or are we going to say, I am going to lay upon you a blanket of comfort. I am going to lay upon you a blanket of peace. I'm going to lay upon you a blanket of affirmation. I am going to lay upon you a blanket that says you are chosen. I'm going to lay upon you a blanket that says you are valued. I'm going to lay upon you a blanket that says there is nothing that is impossible for you when you engage the faith that I am going to pass on because of my rich and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we change the world. That's how we make sure the future generations are going to thrive. It's because we make the choice to change ourselves. We don't sit back and tell the kids, hey, knock it off, straighten up, do what's right. Don't do what I do, do what I say. That does not work. Our children do what we do. What are you doing? What are you passing along to the next generations? If you are estranged from your mother or father or from a child, I would like to ask you right now to decide if that estrangement, that anger, that emptiness, that brokenness inside is also what you want your grandchildren to live with. It brings it home, doesn't it? No, I do not want my grandchildren to struggle with the same things I have struggled with. The same chains that were broken in my life, may they never again hamper and hinder those who come after me. And it all depends on the choice we make. Because we can choose Jesus Christ to be our Savior and know we have eternal life. But there's more. There's so much more that's available in that relationship. And it's all available through the gift of the Holy Spirit that Christ has given us. And our decision to engage with the Spirit of God. And you know what? It's not always an easy road. There's sometimes wrestling that goes on inside of you. There's sometimes fighting within yourself. There's sometimes fighting within your family, because you are going to choose a new path. and you are not going to let their infection invade your space and be passed down to your children anymore, because you are going to be that safety. You are going to be that strong fortress that God is in your life, because you are no longer going to parent the way you were parented, but you are going to parent the way God parents you. God is a great parent. Did you know? I bet you did know. But did you know that in the Old Testament times, early history, God was referred to as Yahweh, but that name could never be written because it was too sacred, but also because it was too scary. He was too fearsome. God was distant. There wasn't a connection with him. The priests had it, Moses had it, prophets had it, but individuals didn't. So they dare not write the name Yahweh. Well, good news. Not only can we speak God's name now, not only can we write God's name down, but we can call God Abba, which means daddy. God is the best parent we could ever have. And he is the one that we get to model our own parenting and care and nurture for others after. This is a good place to remind us that in the beginning, God created human beings in his image, male and female. And every part of his character and his traits will be found within us, because he possesses all of those, whether we look at them as masculine traits or feminine traits. He possesses those, and it is through those that he parents, and it is through that plan that he sets up the family unit in the most ideal way possible. Now, I know the world gets in the way of that sometimes, and you might not have had a dad, or you might not have had a mom. Your kids might not have a mom or dad now, or there was a broken home and you've got stepkids. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what came before. What matters is the choice that's being made right now. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and engaging his gift, the spiritual gift of his Spirit. The final thing that Paul reminds Timothy is in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." This is not a suggestion. This is not something that we can hope for. This is an affirmation. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. If we are feeling fearful and timid, then we are not engaging with that spirit that God gave us. Now, if we're in a circumstance where we're living with an abuser or someone who is addicted, or if there's a judgmentalism in our family, in our history, then we recognize that we may be experiencing fear and a timidness. And when we recognize that and realize that's not God's intent, that is again the impetus we need to take hold of the promise that he has given us, that we have a spirit within us of power and of love and of self-discipline. After reading that verse, if we were to ask ourselves to come up with three words that would characterize a perfect mom, I would think that we might go for those words. We might say, she's a woman who is powerful. She encompasses unconditional love, and she exercises a tremendous amount of self-discipline. I know I would love to have my children say that about me. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you that we find this mother and grandmother who certainly did not grow up in the faith, who certainly grew up in Jewish tradition, but who chose faith in Jesus Christ as adults, and how that impacted the child in their life, Timothy. And God, Timothy became a powerhouse for you. And so, God, I just pray for each one of us that we will take that step, certainly of asking you to be our Lord and Savior, which is simply saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I invite him into my life right now and pray that he will forgive me of my sins and that he will change my life and I accept the gift of eternal salvation. And then when we have that assurance, God, help us to be powerful, to be loving, and to be self-disciplined to the point where we are fanning into flames that which you have given us as a gift, which is your Spirit. And God, may we move through our lives with a power and a love and the self-discipline that it takes to be your followers, to fully surrender to you every day. And God, may we see the world change because we've made this choice for us and we will see it impact the generations to come. God, you are amazing. You give us these roadmaps. Thank you for this roadmap to freedom that you have given us today. You are a good, good Father. You are the best parent. Help us all to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are now going to be worshiping through giving, and that has a couple of different meanings here at New Vision. One is what you would probably expect, that we give of our tithes and our offerings, that we understand that everything that we have comes from God, and that he asks us to give a portion back so that his work can continue, so that his plans and purposes can be carried out through his body, through his church. And as a church, we are poised to assist where needs exist. We do that oftentimes through helping people when they get into financial situations that they just need a little extra help with. But we also do that through partnering with organizations like Tualatin Valley Gleaners Association, who is right now giving away boxes of food to people who are in need. They work year-round serving the underserved in Washington County, but right now there is certainly an uptick in the number of people who are in need of food. So literally on Saturdays before church, many of us gather together, and this is giving through labor. Literally our hands and feet are working to load food boxes and give that food away into the cars of the people who drive through at very safe social distances. We also donate food as is needed, or pay storage for the gleaners when that is a need that comes up. The other way that we give through worship at New Vision is through prayer. We really believe in prayer. We know that prayer changes things. And we also know that prayer is that thing that builds our relationship with God so much. And He loves spending time with us. That is worship when we do so. We also recognize that there's needs, and that sometimes it's hard to just pray by yourself, and that it helps to know that others are praying with you. So we have a very dedicated group of prayer intercessors who meet every Sunday. Now we're meeting on Zoom. Normally we're meeting in a home, but right now it's through Zoom meetings. And we pray for the prayer requests that we receive each week. And then throughout the week, the group of intercessors continue lifting those prayers. So if you have a prayer request, you can also share that with us. To share your tithes and offerings, you can go to our website, which is newvisionpeople.org. And on that website, there is a giving tab. You can also find our address there if you want to mail something to us. But let me give that to you now as well. It's New Vision Fellowship, P.O. Box 5815, Aloha, Oregon 97006. Now, the way you can get your prayer requests to us is twofold as well. You can go to our website again and go to the Contact Us form, and you can fill that out with your prayer request. Or you can send them by email to churchoffice@vision1.org. That's churchoffice, one word, vision1.org. Now, I'm the one who gets all of this, whether it is through the church office email or the Contact Us information on the website. So if you have a prayer request that you prefer to keep confidential and would just like me to know about it and be lifting it up with you to God, just note it on either one of those ways of corresponding, and I will be praying for you. Otherwise, you can know and be assured that you are not alone in your prayers, that we will be praying with you. Will you join me now in prayer? Heavenly Father, we recognize the abundance with which you bless us. We thank you, Lord, for sharing all of your wealth and all of your goodness with us. And I pray, God, that your work will continue to be able to be done to meet the needs around the world. I pray, Lord God, that you will also hear the prayers of your people and that you will answer. You tell us, God, that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, that you will hear our prayers and heal our land. And we pray that, and we know that to be true because it is in your word. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen.